Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of Queer Lehigh Valley, QLV. My name is Robin Gell, and I'm your host. And today I'm joined by local artist Ray Ukan. Super excited to dive into talking about his work and current projects. Thanks for tuning back in. So, hello. Welcome, Ray.
Hello.
I usually start off by just asking, do you want to tell listeners just a little bit about yourself? No, it's a big question, but...
Yeah. My name is Ray Ukan. I use any pronouns with respect, and I am an artist. I'm also an arts organizer. Yeah.
Sweet.
And museum worker, too.
Awesome. I usually like to start when I'm talking to artists about their work. I am always really fascinated by, like, how people started getting into thinking of yourself, like, more holistically as an artist. So the first question that I have for you is, what was, like, an early piece of art that you felt proud of, whether that's from being little or for if you're, like, more into adulthood? Are there any that come to mind?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I have one specific artwork that really comes to mind. There is one that I think was a turning point. It's the one called Star Siblings. A lot of folks seem to, or at least my friends, know and love that work a lot. It'll be featured in the Lehigh University Art Galleries this coming fall, so go and check it out. But it's a 14 by, I think, 18 canvas, and it has an image of three small rabbits in them, and they're in a landscape that looks very whimsical. I use a material called washi paper a lot in my artwork. It's paper made out of the inner bark of mulberry trees, and depending on the technique used to make the piece of paper, it can be as durable as something that's water resistant. That's one of the ways that washi paper has historically been used to create umbrellas and things like that. But also it could be as light as a feather. So I really like this texture. So I use a lot of lightweight washi paper for this piece. So there's a lot of different colors mixing in. It kind of looks like a space landscape. It kind of looks like mountains and like snow, depending on how you look at it. But yeah, that work, I created it in 2021. And that was when I really first started experimenting with this material, with washi paper. And I learned that it has so many different possibilities. And it's one of my favorite things to work with today in my personal art. So that's one piece that really comes to mind.
That's really cool. That's so interesting, too, because that's, like, one of my favorite pieces of yours. I feel like I love there's, like, a sense of nostalgia or something that comes through in it, which I don't know how to, like, particularly pinpoint, like, where that comes from. But there's, like, a playfulness along with, like, a sense of longing that, like, the rabbits have in the landscape. And I could gush about your work forever, but I'll keep asking you questions. But that's just really cool. That's interesting that that's one that, like, comes to mind for you. I didn't know that about the different materials that you use. My next question is actually about materials, because something that's really cool in your work that I often pick up on is, like, a care and precision with what kinds of materials you're using. And so I guess I was curious, how do you approach a new material that you want to start integrating into your work? And then after that, what is your relationship to the materials that you put into the works? Because you seem to be, like, pretty much like a multimedia artist in most of the work, because there's all sorts of layers and cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I would love to talk about especially the relationship to the materials being used. But yeah, lately I've been trying to, or not even trying to, it kind of comes as what I encounter. So I've been working with another incredible visual artist in the region. His name is Rain Black, and he uses a lot of natural materials, organic materials directly in his work. So I learned how to make like homemade paper with a workshop with Rain, and we integrated different leaves and dried flowers and seeds into the paper. And I really liked that experience, especially looking at the finished product, and you can actually see the individual leaves. To me, it kind of looked like you took a slice of, like, the earth, and that's the sheet. Seeing the flowers and petals melded together with the mush of what the paper pulp was. It kind of reminded me of like the concept of going, like returning to Earth after decay or death. I don't know. It visually, it was just a really nice experience with lots of meaning.
For sure. I feel like when you're working with materials that have so much, they feel very like in touch with nature or like are very tangible. Like I know I've made paper too with rain. And when you're making paper, I think that you don't usually like stick your hand into your materials so much. Like and getting that opportunity, I feel like definitely does make me think about like death in like a really beautiful way though. Like I'm making this thing, it will one day return to being seeds and stuff, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So natural materials I've been trying to incorporate into my work, so like directly collaging with dried flowers that I've pressed is like one way. I recently made a piece where I took a little bit of the bark of paper birch, which it really does feel like paper.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then I collaged that directly onto a canvas along with the washi paper that I was mentioning earlier. And yeah, the textures and the colors just look really nice. I like to think that the materials that I use, I try to choose them based on like memories that they hold. Memories that I have an association with the material, but then also the memory that the object has. I feel this way, especially with the different textiles I use in my collages sometimes. I have this whole bag of fabric scraps that I got from my grandmother, and I've been slowly incorporating them into my pieces. I think fabric especially has such a like memory is so deeply literally woven into them, but figuratively too, just with how much we interact with fabric on a daily, on our daily lives. Yeah. So I like to incorporate different things, and my relationship to the material is definitely something that impacts what the whole work is going to look like at the end.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I imagine that like there's a lot of weight to like incorporating those objects that like literally moved with that person or and then carried their life through the art. So that's really cool. I feel like I would be so stressed about using it, right?
I know.
But that's awesome that you have a lot of pieces that you can draw from for to integrate and stuff. That's really beautiful. And my next question is kind of related to, I do feel like I'm not always perfect at interpreting art, but I can sense themes of like nostalgia, memory, and like interwovenness with community, like really present in your work. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit to that. Like, is that true? And then also, because we are queer Lehigh Valley, I was curious if you could talk a little bit about if you feel like queerness shows up in your work and how that presents itself in the things that you create.
Yeah. I'll answer that first question or the latter question.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of my queerness in my art, definitely. I think queerness shows up in everything I do, especially with my overarching theme, which, and I don't know, maybe it's not even. This is another thing too. I also work in the museum industry as my day job, my full-time job. And it's kind of interesting that I'm facing recently that there's my artist brain that is, you know, myself as an artist. I make things, I create, I don't know why I create them, but that's just what comes out. And then my museum brain, which in museums, I think we are always looking at art. We're always looking at art, talking about art, discussing art, dissecting it. So sometimes I do that to myself, which I've learned there are positives in terms of being able to create a story with my art or reading my own art, seeing the connection, seeing what holes I can fill or what direction I can go to. But then there's a part where I've encountered where myself at myself would be like, let's make this make sense or... Well, this isn't going with the theme and it like made me stop making art for a while because like I would get scared or just like the pressure of feeling like I have to make art a certain way, or it has to like, it has to mean something. But sometimes maybe it doesn't have to mean anything, or in either way, it's going to mean something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So just why not let it appear as it does instead of trying to preemptively, I don't know, assign it. So that's like a personal thing that I've gone through as an artist, balancing different, I guess, brains, or with different lenses of looking at art. So yeah, but nowadays I kind of just try to let go of all of that and just create whatever I want. So yeah, the work with the piece with the paper birch, that was the first piece I completed in several months, so that felt nice. But yeah, definitely in any work I do, my queerness shows up a lot. I think I'm always drawn to nature because, I don't know, nature makes me feel the most seen, I think, especially living in a world with a lot of structures and boundaries between, especially like gender these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like when we get to nature, it's like, is very queer. Like,
yeah, like, it's like,
and we are everything nature. Goes out the window. So like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I really like incorporating natural elements into my work. And I think that's always deeply tied to queerness for me.
For sure, definitely. I definitely related to some of the stuff that you said, too, about sometimes, like, when your brains collide, like, for you talking about the museum brain and the artist brain. For me, sometimes since I write, it's like a editor-publishing brain and then the, like, creation brain. It's kind of hard when those things start to, like, talk to each other too much. So that process of prying them apart can definitely be trying. But I'm glad that sometimes adding new materials or approaching something new kind of like brings you back, which is cool.
Yeah.
We'll have like one more question before the break. So you teach a lot of art too. And so I was curious, how does the teaching art and making art, how do they interact for you? Or do they feel like different spheres of yourself as an artist?
Oh, they're definitely not separate. I love teaching. So I teach at the museum that I work at, the Allentown Art Museum. There's a weekend program we offer, and that's for families and community members. So we see a lot of folks with different ages. And then I also teach occasionally some summer school programs in the school district. That's always a lot of fun too. That's a lot of high schoolers. So I always am just experimenting with my students. We always kind of combine materials together. I like to teach things that are kind of unexpected. I've had students collect sticks outside, and we made stick sculptures, or we painted them. And then we also did a watercolor painting, and then we cut it up, and then we sewed it back onto another piece of paper, like embroidery. So just like combining different things. And again, there's like that nature element too I love to pull in. Yeah, I just like to experiment with my students, seeing what fun things that we can get into by combining different mediums, like the sewing and embroidery and the watercolor painting. That's also kind of like collage too, but in a different way. Instead of using glue, we're sewing in materials. And then I would take that home and do it at home too. In the work with the paper birch that I mentioned, I don't think I titled that piece, so I'm just gonna keep calling it that.
Yeah, for sure.
But in that one, there's also a little part in the canvas that I created a weaving in. So yeah, I guess now thinking about it, that definitely combines different techniques or just art styles or mediums into one work of art. So yeah, I always love to experiment with my students and the kiddos I end up teaching with, and I always encourage that too. Do whatever you feel like.
I bet that's super meaningful for them too, because I think a lot of times people are taught in very rigid spaces, and so to be given some of that agency to play, I'm sure is really meaningful, especially for high school, because high school can be really rigid.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And that's so important too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit about the upcoming trans art exhibition that Ray is helping curate.
Woohoo!
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of handpicked music on WDIY.
Hi everyone, we're back with QLV. I'm your host Robin, here with Ray, talking about an upcoming trans art exhibition called Transcendence. Super excited to talk to you about this project. When I saw it, you first post about it, I was really excited. I think a lot of times there's not always opportunities to like highlight the work of trans people specifically, so super just excited to see what happens with it. So I want to ask you first, where did the title come from and what made you want to pursue creating this project in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, so I wanted to pursue a project like this in the Valley for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. I think we deserve a space to see trans artists together and the talent that we have, mm-hmm. Especially in these current times where trans folks are continuously being just subject to violence, systemic oppression, especially under this current administration and the attacks our community has been facing. I think it's important to try to cultivate spaces mm-hmm. where we don't have that and we have yeah. our chance to just come together and celebrate ourselves, celebrate each other through artwork too, which is just important to me as a visual artist. So yeah, that's kind of where the idea came from to hopefully hold a space in the Lehigh Valley too. I think it's nice to focus on regional artists too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as a way to see each other and see ourselves reflected in the broader community. So yeah, and then the title Transcendence came from the word transcend, which is a word I would say describes a lot of my own trans experience. Transcending different things, transcending the boundaries, structures, borders that our world has, and transcending gender too, literally. So that's kind of where the exhibition stemmed from. And I think trans folks in general are, we're transcending what's been
for
given
sure.
to us. Yeah. So yeah, that's where the exhibition title came from.
Yeah, I love that, transcending boundaries. And then it kind of comes through with the art, too, because you can transcend a lot through creating artwork.
Yeah.
I saw that as part of the work of the exhibition. You've also done some workshops. Can you tell me a little bit about what that experience has been of doing workshops around the exhibit? I particularly saw an Instagram reel where you were making art with, I think it was acrylic, and was it shaving cream or, like, foam? It just looked so pretty. I was like, I definitely have to try that, but I'll let you talk more about it.
Yeah, so as coinciding with the exhibition, I've been holding art-making workshops throughout this past spring, and I've been having them in collaboration with House of Shades and also Project Silk Lehigh Valley. Project Silk Lehigh Valley is an incredible community resource located in Allentown. They are a HIV and AIDS advocacy group and just a lot of focus on our queer community members. So yeah, and they have this lovely space. It's a youth space, but House of Shades is their 18 plus program, and that runs on Mondays and Fridays. So yeah, I've been having art workshops there on Fridays for anyone to come in and make some art with us. So the center definitely has like a core group of youth in the region that just kind of have this space as their home. So yeah, I just kind of set up a bunch of art materials and we all created art together over the course of three sessions. And yeah, Robin's mentioning our last session that we had, we created marbled paper using the shaving cream technique. If you are interested, definitely look online. There's tons of tutorials, but basically you just put shaving cream in a big bin and you put droplets of acrylic paint or watercolor paint and you swirl around like latte art, and basically you press the paper down onto it and it creates a print that looks like marbled paper. So yeah, we did that together and it was a super good time. Again, I just like making spaces to create art. I think it's a way for people to sit with themselves and self-express. And it's also just a nice way to spend time with yourself and with other people around you if you're making art as part of a community space. So
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's like really healing to be able to, because I feel like art is a lot of times at least a little bit vulnerable, whether that's just like sharing joy or finding ways to express a feeling that you're trying to express through art. I think that like that opportunity to share vulnerability is really beautiful and special. So super glad that you've gotten the chance to create those spaces.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
Another question I have is, I feel like goals can kind of sound like businessy, but like, I guess, what are you hoping that the exhibition might result in or bring forth into the world?
Again, I hope it's a space that we can come together as a community and celebrate each other, share joy in that way. But I would really also just love if we are able to meet each other and see each other and hopefully just build connections through that way. I think that is what's super important for us right now, is to really build connections across community. I'm really hoping through the exhibition and even with the submissions that I've received, obviously they're not everybody that I already know, which is a given, and also it's great because that means there's a bunch of other artists like us. We may not have the exact same experience, but just being trans is an underlying factor for all of us, which means something. So yeah, I hope it's an opportunity for us to come together and see each other, celebrate our work, which will, I don't know, I hope to think that things like this have a domino effect. It's one part of a larger puzzle of what we need to do as a community right now. And yeah, that's all I hope for. That's at least a small, meaningful part in that broader picture.
Yeah, for sure. Bringing people together, like, things can't continue to grow unless you have that, like, space to start more conversations about what being a trans artist is like and getting to know more people. Because even though Lehigh Valley sometimes seems small, I'm always meeting people who I'm like, that's right. So cool that you're doing this right now, and I didn't even know you're just in Easton or somewhere a few blocks from me.
Yeah, just doing your stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I guess kind of building off of that, just thinking about, since the project is bringing together so many trans artists, what are ways you feel like trans artists might need more support, either now or just in general, or ways people can be more supportive of trans artists? I know it's like a big question because it's hard to parse out all of those things, but I was curious what your thoughts are in that.
Yeah, I think always just giving your fellow artists a follow. if you enjoy someone's artwork, always just supporting them in that way. Monetarily is always nice. If an artist is selling artwork, that's actually something that I actually don't really do. There's definitely artists who are in the same boat as me, and I'm trying to figure that out, like the economics of being an artist.
Yeah.
You know, hence why we like very much often have jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
Day jobs or what have you. But yeah, supporting the artists in that way, following them. And especially for trans artists who, it's hard to see us in mainstream visual art. If you have, I guess, power or privilege within the art world, whether you have a gallery or you organize art shows, featuring trans artists too, it's hard to see us. When I visit museums, for example, it's not every time I visit a museum that I see an artist with my experience in terms of gender or in terms of being trans. Again, that's why I'm drawn to works with like nature or visual like motifs that I might see myself reflected in, but not so much in the actual experience of another artist featured in a mainstream museum. And I think that ties into another part, engaging with trans art, that expands what the narrative of trans art is too. There are, of course, tons of trans or gender non-conforming artists throughout art history that we have seen, but oftentimes too, their transness is kind of written off or put under the rug, and we don't want that. We want to be seen and celebrated. So engaging with trans art, engaging with trans stories is always something you can do to support trans artists.
Yeah, totally agree with all that. I think a lot of times, just building off of what you said, I'm always thinking about like encouraging people, like, you don't only have to do it in June. Like, you know,
yes.
You know, like a trans artist can have the central show at a gallery all times of year, and that our stories are not niche. I think a lot of times, as marginalized people, I think sometimes, and I see this, I'm not an expert in the art world, but I definitely see it as like people not taking those experiences as like universal enough or something to relate to, but that there is something anybody can get from art. And so I just echo what you're saying. And I hope that we can see more of that. I definitely think of like the first time I saw a piece by a trans artist in a museum. It was Greer Langton, who does really weird, do you know of Greer Langton?
No, I don't think so.
Definitely look it up after this. She makes like weird puppets. And she was a trans woman who did not live super long. I don't remember. She died of something unfortunate. I don't think it was actually during the AIDS crisis, but she lived in the 90s and she made really eccentric little dolls. And I didn't know that she was trans when I saw her work, but I remember being like, these things are playing with gender in a way that's like really exciting to me. And so I just hope that we can create more opportunities. And I think that your show will definitely be a great opportunity, especially in such a queer space like Silk, for people to feel that connection to the art. And I think it also like helps future artists too, because you can see your future. And I think a lot of times we don't always get opportunities to see ourselves reflected in adults who are creating art. Since I know that space, so there's a lot of youth there too.
Yeah.
Since we're kind of coming to the end of the show, I want to know, how can folks support the work of the Transcendence exhibition?
Just sharing it around friends, family who might be interested in submitting their artworks. And the show opens on June 27th, and that is going to have also an opening reception at Project Silk, Lehigh Valley. If you're interested, just give us a message on the Instagram page, and you will get the details sent to your inbox. But yeah, just keep sharing it around, and then keep your eye out for that opening reception. We're going to have open mic, some refreshments, and just good vibes and trans joy.
That's really fabulous. And we definitely need like lots of opportunities for trans joy in the world these days.
Please. I'm
really glad that you are building that for everybody, and excited that people will get introduced to like a whole wide range of trans artists in that space. Be sure to follow all those people and buy their stuff. But I know that I'm super excited to go to the exhibit opening. This was a really awesome conversation. Thanks for chatting with us at QLV.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. It was.